We're going to open up God's word together now. We're going to open up God's word on Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and starting at verse 1. This is God's word. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and boasting are in our hope. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Before we gather around God's word, tonight we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 3 together. As we've already mentioned, I'm part of the leadership as an elder at Waterfront and developing the revitalization of the church in Skewin called Hope Church. But my other job, as it were, is as a county's evangelist. So I do a lot of primary and secondary schools, working in lessons and assemblies, as well as working with churches and church missions and children's and youth groups and things like that. I have a prayer letter with me. If you'd like to have one at the end, I'd love to give one to you. It's got some information on the inside, and it's got some prayer dates on the back. If you'd like one, I'd love to give one of those to you at the end. Because many folks have asked me when I do local schools, they say, oh good, you've got the summer off then. That's not quite exactly how it works. I've been part of United Beach Mission for many years now, and it's my privilege to coordinate the work in this area, in the Mumbles. And this year was our 24th year of mission there, and we had a wonderful week of mission, a fortnight there. So David Norbury, as many of you know, he leads the first week, along with another Dave called Dave Ainscoe, and it's myself and Dan Hill, who's one of the leaders of Yorkshire Camps, who comes down to lead the second week together. And somebody said to me on the way in, they said, oh, was it a wet week? Well, in God's grace, it was the glorious week of sunshine we had this summer. So we had many people flocking down to Blackpill Lido and Langland as well, but I've never seen the Lido that busy. I put the equipment down on Monday and turned around to look. You couldn't see the water, you just saw bodies. Which is wonderful. So many people contacted. We have a little book table. We had to replenish that book table quite a few times through the amount of people picking up a book and taking it home with them. Many books are given out that week, thanks to 10 of those. They're given out as prizes as well as through the book table. Would you just pray that through somebody being curious enough to take a free book home with them, that they would hear the good news of Jesus? We had 24 families come to join us on the Thursday night. We have a big family evening with different games going on. This year was obviously Olympic themed. But we had 24 families, all from different cultures and different religions. But they listened as we spoke to them and shared with them and through testimony and through a gospel message, how Jesus still transforms people's lives today. The most wonderful thing of all is that through school's work, a lot of them are local. So a lot of them have noticed me or others who are local and have come and become part of the mission for that week. So please pray for the follow-up to that as I'm going to go back into schools in and around Swansea and Neath, that we'll be able to carry on that conversation, not just with the children, but with the adults and the parents and grandparents as well. So please do continue to pray for that. I've brought the Beach Mission magazines with me. It's a great gospel tool. There's lots of testimonies in here and articles as well. So I've brought some with me. Please do take one home with you. And if you want to share it with your next door neighbour, post it through their letterbox. It'd be worth them reading this as well. It tells them just a bit about Beach Mission, but more importantly, tells them the good news of Jesus. So if you'd like to have one, those two things are at the back for you tonight. But let's come to God's word now, shall we? Let's open up Hebrews chapter 3 together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray now that as we come to your word, Lord, would you just help us to focus our hearts and our minds on you. That, Lord, if there are any distractions in our hearts, that, Lord, you would help us to push those things aside, that we'd be able to come and focus on your word. That, Lord, these words of Hebrews 3 won't just simply be academic, but that, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, you would help these words and imprint them upon our hearts and upon our lives. Lord, we ask that, look, this won't just be an exercise of the mind. Lord, we want this to be an exercise of the heart. So, Lord, would you lead us? Would you guide us as we come to Hebrews chapter 3? And, Lord, I pray, would you bless preacher and hearer alike tonight, I pray, for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen. If you have Hebrews chapter 3 open, and if I have to get a title for this message tonight, it's one word. Look. Look. There's a wonderful story. In 1974, a Frenchman called Philippe Petit did something quite remarkable. In the middle of the night, he stretched out a cable between the two towers at the World Trade Center in Manhattan that was still under construction at the time. By the morning, crowds gathered together and looked in awe as they looked at this sight, as Philippe walked back and forth upon the cable, performing one of the world's most daring high-wire acts. In many interviews afterwards, people asked him the same question. How did you do it? He replied, simple really, you keep your eyes on the destination and don't look down. Keep your eyes on the destination and don't look down. And the writer of Hebrews here tells us the same thing. He tells us to look, open your eyes, pay attention. Because see, what you focus on has an effect on you. And in this case, not just for a season, but for all eternity. So remember, says the writer, keep your eyes focused. Open your eyes. Keep your eyes focused on the destination. And don't look down. The first word there of chapter 3 says this, therefore. And for those who've known me for long enough, I was brought up in a very good gospel hall, not too far away from here, and they told me this, my Sunday school teacher. Whenever you see a therefore, you should ask yourself a question. What's it there for? If you didn't know that tonight, you can take that back with you. But the writer starts with, therefore. The writer of Hebrews has been building up his argument. He had stark warnings for the church in chapter 2 that we as human beings tend to drift to where is most comfortable. We tend to wander then from God's path. As the psalmist put it, oh, we like sheep have gone astray, turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The fact that the truth of the gospel means this, we have an advocate, says the writer of Hebrews. And he's a great high priest. He's a great high priest between us and a holy God. And we find him in the God-man, Jesus Christ. The first readers of this letter were no different. They were quite ready to drift away. They were ready to abandon the faith altogether. It's too hard. It's too much. There's too much persecution. Let's go back to Judaism. It was much easier. Sadly, even in our day and age, we have many people doing the same thing. It's too hard. It's too tough. Sundays are too busy. There's no time. And they abandon their faith altogether. And maybe you have that feeling in the pit of your stomach. Well, tonight I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with three things that we find from this passage. And the first one is found in verse 1, and it's this, look in. The writer says this, therefore, holy brothers. And I want to suggest to you tonight that as you open your eyes, you need to look in the mirror. I know looking inward sounds counterproductive, but that's what it says in verse 1. It says, holy brothers. Now, Paul, in many of his other letters, would say, to the saints at. And I wonder tonight, do you feel holy? Do you feel like a saint? It's often said in management that the title doesn't make the person makes the title. In other words, when someone is promoted and given a new title, they were already doing that job anyway. They're now just simply getting recognition for it. Friend, I want to encourage you tonight. You have a title, whether you like it or not, whether you feel like it or not. Tonight, in Christ, you are holy. You're a saint. You have been set apart for God's good work. Not because of who you are, all because of Jesus. And what's wonderful is that this title is given to us. And the truth is, it's not really earned, is it? We haven't made our way there. We haven't stamped enough tokens for coming to a church service in order to get this title. We haven't knocked on so many doors. If we're honest, we don't really deserve it. But it is an act of His amazing grace. And it's an act of His grace working in your life because of what He has done at the cross for you and for me. You see, because He dies at Calvary, because He takes on the sin of the world, because He's buried in a tomb, and because He rises from the dead, He says to you and I tonight, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling. Friends, you and I tonight, we are free. We are free from sin. We are forgiven. We are restored. We're part of the family of God. And you are holy. In the Old Testament, God would say to His people, be holy, for I am holy, declares the Lord. And just like the Israelites of old, they were told to be different, set apart from the kingdoms around them. So too, as Christians, we're told to be different as well. Not in a bizarre fashion choice or whatever it might be, but no, we're called to be different in that loving, caring way. You and I share this heavenly calling out of the kingdom of darkness into His glorious light. Our identity tonight isn't based on geography. It isn't based on circumstances. It's based on heaven's call for your life. You're a saint because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, you and I are citizens of heaven. So our lives need to reflect that change. That life is now remarkably different from those around us. People need to know that reason and discover Jesus for themselves. As a teenager, I grew up in a gospel hall and went 3 times on a Sunday. I knew all the answers, because usually the answers were yes and Jesus. But you see, the point is, as I went to a United Youth Group, we went to Swansea YL, there's something different about those in that room. They also went to church 2-3 times on a Sunday. But there was something different about them. And then I realized what it was. I realized the difference was they knew and loved the Lord Jesus and I didn't. I knew all about Him, but I didn't know Him as my Lord and Savior. So the challenge is this then, isn't it? If we were locked in a room with other people from other faiths and of no faiths at all, could they point out the Christian in the lineup? And if not, is there something that needs to change in our lives so that we are set apart, we are holy from those around us? See, in order to grow as a Christian, we need to look in the mirror. We need to have a good look and remind ourselves of this great truth. Yes, we are sinners. We do things wrong. We don't measure up to God's standard. But because of Jesus And because of his work of salvation, I stand, I walk, and I interact with my community as a holy brother or sister. I am a saint. Not because of my own effort, but all because of him. So remind yourself, as you wake up tomorrow morning, as you look in the mirror, you're a saint. The second thing I want to encourage you is this. It's found in the end of verse 1, and it's to look up. The end of verse 1 says, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. You see, if you are a child of God here tonight, then whatever you do, keep looking upward. Why? Because Jesus is our ultimate example. And what a complete vision we have of Jesus here. We see him here. He is the apostle, literally meaning the one sent from God, the pioneer, the trailblazer, the one sent from the heaven's throne room itself. He comes to this little earth as miracle maker, as parable teller, but most importantly of all, he comes as the all-conquering Savior. But to complete that picture, we need to focus our eyes and attention on this next phrase. Not only is Jesus the apostle, he's also high priest. He now represents us before the Father in that same throne room, interceding on behalf of his people. Just take that in for a moment. When you and I pray, Christ is there. We know them. Let's continue to pray for them. Yes, you know Martin. He's one of yours. Pray for him. You know Derek. You know his needs. Let's bless him. Let's give him what he needs. He's bridging the gap between us and a holy God. He really is the complete package. And we have great security in that. Jesus has saved me. And he continues to intercede for me each and every single day. Hallelujah. What a Savior. As the Apostle Paul would put it to the Colossians, he would say this, if then we've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And if you don't know that tonight, perhaps you've come into the building tonight and you still are not quite sure about who this Jesus is. He's the one who transforms lives even today. He's the one who went all the way to Calvary to set people free. So instead of living our lives our own way, doing the things we want to do, what we want to say, how we want to live, that ultimately separates us from God, here enters Jesus, who stands in the gap, who pays a debt that I could never pay, and makes a way for everyone. Men, women, boys, girls, whoever you are, the Bible says it quite clearly, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, not could be saved, perhaps they might, if they play their cards right. No, no. It says anyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So whether you're here in the building or you're watching online, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know Jesus, then why not do it tonight? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it on Monday. You and I both know that tomorrow never really comes. So why not do it tonight? Why not ask Jesus to change your life forever? Admit you do things wrong and accept his promise that all those who turn to him will have life eternal forever. The guilt and the shame gone, and Jesus, by his Spirit, working in your life. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of preaching at Moriah Chapel. And outside Moriah, there's a monument there to Evan Roberts, mightily used by God during the Welsh Revival of 1904 and 1905. There are three words etched in stone at the bottom of that monument, remember Jesus Christ. Friend, whatever you are going through, yourself, as a family, whatever season of life you are in, can I encourage you? Remember Jesus Christ. How does the old hymn put it? Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. That's why we can trust him. Because he's made an end of it. An end of sin forever. So what sort of season of life are you in? Maybe you're having a mountaintop experience. You're having encouragement after encouragement. Or perhaps you're in the lonely valley. Perhaps you are facing something hard in this season. Don't take a single step more without looking up. Look to him, says the writer. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who represents us in the heavenly throne room. And that's why we come to him. Look up and see him there, the one who made an end to all your sin. And thirdly and finally, I want to encourage you with this third encouragement. Not only should you look in the mirror, remind yourself of who you are. Look up. Remember Jesus Christ. But we're told here in these last few verses to look out. Verse 3 puts it like this. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Now the writer is comparing the two. Time and time again in his letter, the writer will say, Jesus is better than. Here he has two more to compare. On the one hand, we have Moses, the great leader of the Israelites, the one who led the people out of Egypt. A great leader, a very respected leader, one that they always turned to. And on the other side, we have the great hero of God's people. We have the all-conquering hero of Satan, sin, death, and hell itself. It sounds obvious who would win, but the writer knows that the readers are still looking back. They're still looking back to the good old days where things were done properly. And friends, isn't that our tendency as well? We always look back and go, it was done properly back then. It was better in the good old days. And maybe it was. But my Bible tells me different. See, my Bible tells me that the best days are yet to come. And the writer gives these two distinct reasons. Why is Jesus better? Why is Jesus greater than Moses? Reason one's quite simple, he says. God built it. Verses 3 and 4 says, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now, many of you know my family well, and my father was a builder for many years. And even to this day, whenever we travel anywhere, whenever we drive past, these are the immortal words. I built that. I built that. That's mine as well. I took the boys to Cardiff, and on our way back, we stopped at Neath train station. And I turned to them and said, oh, look, boys, your bumper made this. And they looked from the window of the train station and said, wow. What? One of them went, even the train tracks. I said, well, bumper may have had a bit of help to do that bit, but the rest is all him. I'm sure he didn't have help whatsoever. It's his. He built it. And friends, whatever season you're going through, just like David of old, look out to the hills. And know where your help comes from. Psalm 121 says, your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the master builder. Moses did a good job of maintaining. He did a great work, but God built it. The second reason why Jesus is greater, he's better than Moses, says the writer, is this. Jesus is the Lord of the manna. Now, Moses was faithful, he says, in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. Now, I know many of you would have watched Downton Abbey or Upstairs, Downstairs. We love watching those old television programs where there's upstairs and down. There's a hierarchy of position. Bear with me with this illustration. I want you to imagine there's a whole episode dedicated to this. As Mr. Carson walks around the estate and declares to everyone, I am the Lord of the manor. You see, deep down we know, not in his wildest dreams would Mr. Carson, knowing him as a character, would ever dream of declaring to people that he's the Lord of the manor. He knows his place. He knows his role. Moses was faithful. He was a good servant of the Lord. But he isn't the Lord of the manor. That position rightly belongs to Jesus. He is the rightful son and heir. You see, they both fulfilled two very different roles in the process. One serves. One points people to the right way of life. One is in control. The other is the builder. The other is sustainer of all life. I don't know if you picked up on this at the end of the passage there. This wonderful truth that we have. At the end of verse 6. And we are his house. In 1 Peter, Peter would say that we are like living stones. You see, if you are a believer in Christ tonight, if you know and trust the Lord Jesus, that you know your sins have been washed away, you're part of something even bigger. You're part of God's family. You're part of the church of God. And each of us have our part to play. That's why we have to gather together as God's people. Why? Because, if you like, you're the living bricks of the church. When one of you is missing, there's a hole in the gap in the building. Because as we gather together, we make the church. We are his house. If indeed we hold fast our confidence, or in the Greek the word would be great courage, and our boasting in our hope. Isn't that wonderful? Can I encourage you tonight? Look out. Look out at your fellow believers. Look out at your community. And hold fast. Have a tight grip on the great courage, the confidence you have, and the boasting that you have in our hope. You see, amazing things happen when we open our eyes to the truth of the gospel, when we remind ourselves to look. The old hymn writer would put it like this, wouldn't he? Look, 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 and live. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life in this moment for thee. So friends, can I encourage you? Let us be those who look in the mirror, who remind ourselves of who we are, remind ourselves our identity is in Jesus, that we look to him daily, each and every single day, as we seek to walk and live out the Christian life, and remind ourselves to look out, to see what's gone before, yes, but press on, keep on going for him, keep on telling others about him. Keep on seeking opportunities to share the gospel. Because friends, we have this great confidence. We have great courage. Our confidence and our boasting. Boasting. Is in our hope. And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope that was an encouragement and a blessing to you tonight.